This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Unabridged millennial Mason Payne here live from the MVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Back to school has changed a lot. When I was a kid, supplies consisted of pens, pencils, a new pencil sharpener, and maybe, if I'm lucky, a trapper keeper. Now back to school supplies consist of tablets, computers, even external hard drives. So joining me to explain what are some of the best back to school tech gadgets are to get not only for your middle schooler, high schooler, but for your college student is B&H Computer Sales Associate Christopher Hall. Thanks for joining me, Christopher.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I have a cousin, and she has a nine-year-old, and she's actually shopping for computers, and I didn't realize that at that age they need them for school. What do you think would be an appropriate computer to have for, like, someone that young, like 9 years old?
Well, I think that with computers it's, and education in general, you have to really speak with the teachers as well, so it's good to have a conversation with the school about what the requirements are. In most cases, for a nine-year-old, for the kinds of work that nine-year-olds do, between my kids and my family, Chromebooks are actually a good idea. They're inexpensive. They get most everything done. You can do word processing, presentations. Most everything is going to be web-based. That's the way I would go.
You know, it's so funny you said that. I saw those at Walmart, and they are really cheap, like $200, $150. But is it like a laptop, or are there limitations to a Chromebook?
Well, it's like a laptop. There are some limitations. What makes it inexpensive right off the bat is the operating system. It's a free version. It's a free operating system. It's basically a flavor of Linux, so you don't have to pay for a Windows license. Another feature is that it uses flash memory, the kind of memory that you would find in a cell phone or a tablet. So it's a small amount of memory. No moving parts generally, except for the keys and the trackpad, obviously. So yes, they are that inexpensive. And again, because you're usually connected Wi-Fi to online resources, you can save your data online, and documents don't really occupy that much space either. So, it's like a laptop in terms of most of what most people do, yes, but there are some limitations in terms of the type of applications that you can run. You're not going to be, you know, running Photoshop or really bulky applications, but there are generally mobile equivalents that would work on Chrome OS or web-based equivalents.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to say, could you, like, put all kinds of programs, but apparently you can't.
You're not going to be playing your favorite video game unless your favorite video game is something akin to Candy Crush or something like that. You're not really going to be doing that.
Yeah, you're not going to play Overwatch on a Chromebook.
No.
Okay, so let's say you're a college student. You wouldn't want a Chromebook then. You would want a laptop?
I think most people would want a laptop. Again, it really depends on the program you're in. From my experience working in the store, I've had some high school graduates going into college and trying to find something. I've advised parents and students together, get something that's going to get you through your first couple of years until you declare a major. And then whatever program you choose from there, you may need something more specialized. In the more traditional laptop world, something with an i5 processor, whether it's a Mac or a PC, would certainly cover you for a lot of different disciplines. Most of the sort of paper writing that you're going to do is either done with something like Microsoft Office, Pages, or free applications like Apache OpenOffice or even LaTeX. If you're getting into engineering or something that requires something more robust, then, yeah, you're going to have to step up maybe your processing power and such, get some more specialized features like dedicated graphics.
What about getting a desktop, just saying hell with it? If it's going to be 2 years, I might as well just get myself like a tower.
I always favor a tower. I guess I'm old school in that regard. There's some people who may want to take notes or be able to record audio and or video in class. And I don't see somebody pushing a desktop through the snow across the quad to make it to English Lit or something like that. I don't think that would be always, in every case, practical. there's sometimes where students may have a laptop or a tablet for the classroom and a desktop for their room.
What about tablets? You just said, like, instead of a laptop, could they just take a tablet? And which one do you think would be appropriate?
The tablet market is crazy right now because we're finding that tablet technology, with increases in flash memory and what people are actually doing with tablets, you can have something that has, let's say, iOS for the iPad, or you could have something with an Android background that has very robust applications and very robust hardware to run those programs. And then you have tablets that run Windows. A lot of the major manufacturers have Windows-based tablets, and Microsoft has the Microsoft Surface, which is a 12-inch, essentially, tablet with a detachable keyboard if you choose that model. So, yes, you could take notes. You could write directly onto the tablet. There are applications that will take your handwriting and turn it into text if that's what you want to do. You have the ability to record the ambient audio in the classroom or wherever you are. You can even record video with the webcam. It's ultra portable. And for most people, that is a viable option for having mobility and performance on the, you know, on the fly.
Speaking on the fly, what about flash drives? I've had bad experiences with flash drives. I didn't realize that they weren't meant for, like, permanent storage. And they're like, oh, you should have gotten an external hard drive. So when you're a student, should you invest in, like, an external hard drive, or should you just go with the flash drive and hope for the best?
The general rule of thumb is that whatever kind of data you choose, you want to back it up and have a second place to keep that data. And if you're really good, you'll have a third place to keep it away from yourself. When it comes to your data, you want to protect your stuff, and you want to protect your stuff from yourself. So something like a flash drive that's going to be used and constantly inserted and taken out of your computer, yeah, you definitely want to back it up. It takes a lot of wear and tear. There's a lot of read and writes to it. And over time, yeah, things can happen. Nothing is perfect. An external hard drive is a great way to go. I would certainly put one, keep one in my room to back up some things. And there's also the cloud, which is a nice way of saying someone else's computer. You have all kinds of cloud-based storage where even if you don't have those physical devices, or if someone, one of them goes bad, you can pull things right off the net and keep moving.
You know, one of the things I never see people talk about is printers. When I was in college, I was always the kid who finished her reports at like 3 a.m. So, and my class was at 8. So I would have to print it up in my dorm. What, like, should somebody invest in like a cheap, you know, printer like Brother, or like an Epson EcoTank, like something a little bit more expensive? Or what do you think?
Their printers are outrageous. Nowadays, especially in a college sense, maybe the your computing lab is not open for you to print at 3 a.m, or you on a campus that is more urban and you don't have those sort of centers available to you all the time. Having a small printer that you and maybe if you live in a suite, you could share with some people is always a good option. Epson has some great printers where you can replace the ink and make sure that you have the ability to print at a low cost, especially with the price of ink being what it is, or the cost of having to replace the ink being what it is. HP has Instant Ink, which is almost like which is a subscription, basically. So based on your use, the printer will keep tabs on how you're printing and how much ink you're using, and then all of a sudden you get new ink in the mail. It's sort of the, I guess it's sort of the Netflix of ink, in a sense.
I like that. I'm not sure I would like the idea that they have my credit card, because I don't know. That's kind of weird. Like you need ink. Wait. So if they were to order it, is it like a CYMK or is this like a RGB?
Depends on the printer.
Okay.
Usually CYMK is going to be more for people who are printing photos. If you're a photographer, you might want a CYMK printer. RGB might be suitable for people who are less concerned with the color quality and going to be printing more black and white text. If you manage your time right in a college setting, wow, I said it, be responsible, you might do well with a simple black and white printer for your room. And then when you have to do some bulkier things, depending on your program again, you'll seek other resources in a timely manner to make sure that you can get those big jobs.
Okay, so for all the new hardware people are going to buy, what are some ways that they can do to protect it?
Well, what we do at B&H, one thing is read. I'm a big proponent of read, be responsible, know your stuff. You're never excused from knowing something about your hardware. B&H offers SquareTrade on practically every electronic device we sell. SquareTrade is a 5-star company that offers warranties, extended warranties, oftentimes above and beyond what the manufacturer provides. It's an international warranty, so if you find yourself studying abroad and you take your computer to another country and you don't have local support there, or your manufacturer doesn't support you outside of the United States, SquareTrade will allow you to, they will firstly try to help you troubleshoot the problem, and if you need a replacement, they can arrange for a replacement and in a lot of cases cut you a check so that you can buy a new device.
So what if you decide you didn't want the warranty right then, like as soon as you bought it? Could you get it like 6 months later or 8 months, or is it something you have to buy immediately?
You would have to buy it within 30 days of purchase. You would make your first claim after 30 days of purchase. Before the 30 days, if you wanted to return the SquareTrade, you could at a full refund. After that, they prorate to the day. So if you bought a very expensive laptop and the SquareTrade is a couple of $100, you're paying about $3 a month, let's say, on a 3-year warranty. They prorate to the day, so you would get the unused portion back.
Oh, okay, cool. Thank you so much, Chris, for joining me. I really appreciate you being here.
Oh, thank you, and thank everyone for considering B&H. We definitely want to talk to people and help them make wonderful decisions about how they want to be productive at school and everywhere else.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.